Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Welcome, Benny. How are you, bud?
Doing awesome. Happy Tuesday.
Happy to Tuesday. Is it Taco Tuesday?
It's every day should be Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. That reminds me of Taco Tuesdays when I would ride the Harleys with the boys out to Alki.
What? This is new? I don't think I've ever heard this.
Oh my God, no, Taco Tuesday. We would go out on Tuesdays on the Harleys out on Alki, tacos and stuff and just mischief. Okay. It was fun.
Okay.
That was like 20 plus years ago.
You had your own bike?
No.
Oh, you're riding shotgun. No.
Yeah, I was riding shotgun, but I
saddle,
ride.
Side saddle in the rear, whatever.
No. Oh. Little, yeah, no.
Oh, you had a sidecar.
No. Yeah, it was a sidecar. It was the pup with the glasses.
Those are the best, by the way.
Yeah, no. But okay. I do ride. I haven't ridden a motorcycle in a while. And yeah, okay. I do enjoy it.
It's all good.
Right. Off-road, on-road. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Do you still have your bikes? Or
no, I sold it a while ago, too. Yeah. You know, when you get kids, it kind of gets set aside. And then I figured it was still new enough for someone else to enjoy it. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I get that.
I'll get another one someday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Teach the boys. All right. Well, welcome, you guys. Welcome. Sue here. And it's Clarity with Sue. We are going to be joined today. We're going to talk about overcoming oneself. And we're going to talk about some 9 principles to help us overcome said adversity. But before we get started with all of that, I want to remind all of you about me and what I do. And I've got a free event tomorrow. It's called the Bounce Back. You literally, all you have to do is go to claritywithsue.com and just kind of scroll down just a tiny bit and register. It's free. You guys have heard me talk and educate this process for years. And it is one of my number one asked for clarity mindset tools, mindset hacks. And I'm going to give it to you for free right before the holidays, right before the new year. And it's going to help you with gaining more confidence, more clarity. With confidence, or with that clarity comes confidence. Confidence becomes new experiences. That new experiences then show up in your life and bring in more trust for and reliving or reviving that trust within yourself. And hey, if you want more money, more sex, more intimacy, more all the juicy stuff, let's play. Let's get this going. Get some clarity, get some more energy, more money, more relating relations. So let's get that going. So all you got to do is go to Clarity with Sue and sign up for the Bounce Back event. You'll see it. The newsletter's on top, and then the Bounce Back free event is tomorrow. So jump on it quickly as you can. I want to remind all of you, I saw this quote this morning, and I thought it was pretty relevant for who we're talking to today. And I'm going to bring Bill on in just a minute, but check this out. A positive mindset doesn't solve all of your problems. What it does do, it helps you deal with said situations. So with that, having a process in place before the shiitake hits the fan is really important for you to do. And with that, I'm going to bring on my guest today, and we're going to talk about his new book, and we're going to get to know him, his why, and we're going to get some real life, real time practical tools to help us overcome adversity and get really clear on what that looks like. So let me introduce you to Bill Murphy. Growing up in a toxic and abusive home environment, Bill Murphy was consistently overwhelmed by fear and doubt. Nevertheless, he was motivated to show those around him that he could accomplish what he set out to do in spite of being verbally and physically knocked down. Bill believes that when the storm hits, you have 3 choices: give up and become a victim, do what you can to survive, and learn and thrive. You don't need to have exceptional talents or resources to overcome adversity, be resilient, and achieve extraordinary goals. You are capable of more than you realize. You can learn to thrive. Bill is the proof. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks for having me. So excited.
All right. Okay. Like I said before the show, you know, of course, I'm going to do the formal introduction and the formal bio, but let's get to know you. The audience knows this and they want to hear you. And of course, hear your accent. I'm totally calling you out for that one.
So you want me to say my R's or don't say my R's?
Totally. I want you to be all you. Absolutely.
We'll park the car when we're done. That'd be good.
I love it, babe. Go. Yes.
All right.
Your story, love.
So I was always made to feel less than just growing up, right? And it was always my motivation was just over, I'll show you, I'll show them that I will succeed. You know, it was a middle class Irish Catholic family. My dad and mother were very, very young, 19 and 20 years old, and then they got married. And I think my dad had a lot of regrets for being married with a family at 19 years old. And that regret led to resentment. That resentment was taken out on me, and my sister was a year younger than me. And more so, the boy took the brunt of that, you know, his fiery attitude towards having children at such a young age. And here's the thing that I realized is I still grew up thinking that, hey, it was normal. It was, you know, these beatdowns are normal. The shaming is normal. The belittlement is normal. The pokes in the chest, just the aggravating pokes in the chest when you mess up, nothing's ever good enough. I just thought it was normal. So I just thought I was a little bit of a bad hand, but where I think I was kind of saved is I was never really jealous of my friends that had a better upbringing. I would just want to be around them more and get out of that toxic environment as much as I possibly could. And I think that kind of stayed with me forever. Like I've been able to achieve some success in sales and some athletic endeavors. And I it's not because of athletic talent or business talent per se. It's because of never, ever, ever get jealous of one's success. I always root for everybody. There's enough room at the top for as many people that want to get there if they're going to put in the work. So that was just kind of my driving force from a young age, that I would root for everybody and I'd want to soar with the Eagles as much as I felt put down, and just overcoming the self-doubt.
There's something about that. I mean, one, thank you for that, Bill, and two, totally resonates some of my background as well. And like you, I'm the cheerleader for everybody else, right? And I don't know, maybe when I was growing up, it was the cheerleader for everybody else, so I was distracted with my own traumas, right? And witnessing, and like you, I wasn't jealous. I was just witnessing, you know, hindsight's 2020. I was seeing something different, right? Yeah. Like you, and still rooting them on, still encouraging everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Let me remind the audience, we're talking about your book, Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help Overcome Any Adversity. I'd love to talk about the 9 principles and, or 3 of them or 4 of them, whatever intuitively you feel that we should be speaking to. I would like to talk about adversity. Talk to me about what that means to you, what that has taught you.
So adversity in the form of a storm, right? So you have mini storms, you have major storms. I mean, a mini storm could be a breakup, and a major storm could be a breakup. Depends on the level of where you're at in a relationship. You know, a death of a loved one is a major storm. So the idea of the thriving mentality is to get to that place where you can soar and achieve at the fastest possible pace you can. And but not missing the grieving period. You still have to recognize your feelings. And if it's
That's really important to recognize instead of under the carpet, denial, all of that, right?
Yeah, because then also, okay, if it's denial, then there's probably anger, despair, sadness, hostility, maybe revenge, depending on what, if it's a bad breakup on the other side, you know, it could be all that stuff. And those feelings keep you in the victim mentality, right? So we talked about those three choices. And if you're in the victim mentality, that's an excuse just to stay in bed and not get up, not get out, not move on. And then if you're in the survival mentality, then you just do enough to get by. I'll wait it out and let's see what happens. But if you get that thriving mentality, now those feelings, you start to create with those feelings, and those feelings become, you know, I have gratitude. I'm so thankful for my blessings of my kids, my family, my career, my, you know, everything, my health, everything that's wonderful in life. And those are free, right? And then now you can start to have love, joy, love for yourself, enthusiasm, zest for life. And now you can start to create. Now you can start to have that thriving mentality. It's like our feelings, think about this, Sue. Can our feelings make us sick? Our emotions make us sick? If we just say, you know what, I'm depressed, I'm down and out, I'm going to stay down and out because it's a great excuse, subconscious level, it's a great excuse to stay down and out. And I'm going to drink, I'm going to self-medicate, I'm going to eat all these bonbons, I'm going to binge watch Netflix for the next 2 weeks. You know, I'm going to have three glasses of wine every single night. So those feelings, you allow yourself to get sick with those feelings. But on the same token, can't feelings of enthusiasm, love, joy, happiness, can't that make you healthy?
Absolutely.
Now, when you are down, it's very hard to get there. So that's why you have to create. And the easiest way, I believe, is gratitude. Gratitude
that's
cafe.
That's one of my fundamentals. It's like brushing my teeth. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it totally is. Absolutely. Gratitude and appreciation. I'm really leaning into the authentic feeling of that. Not just being very present with the appreciation, very, very present in that gratitude, right? Instead of just, I'm thankful for blah, right?
Yeah, you got to be deliberate. You got to be focused. And I say throw intensity in there. Wait, focused intensity. Be deliberate.
Be deliberate, be intentional. Yes. And I like to say, what, there's a few things I like to say, but be inconsistently consistent.
Sure.
So you don't get complacent.
Right.
Right. With language, feelings, emotions. Right. And I hide sticky notes all over my house and go, oh, I just got a love bomb, you know, something like that, just to keep that fresh. Right. So let's talk about thriving in the storm, the 9 principles to help you overcome adversity. So the book came from your own adversity, right?
And yeah, there's other stories incorporated, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a copy. I wanted to hold one up.
You were supposed to get one.
I know I didn't get one, but that's okay. So please talk to me about, you talk about mental toughness and managing your mind. That's huge. And I brought us into today's show about a positive mindset. And a positive mindset doesn't cure the issue or the shiitake that has hit the fan, right? It just helps you. And the audience knows this. I'm a big proponent of real-time, real-life practical tools that help you self-regulate, to help you before the shiitake hits the fan, and having how the importance of having that process in place, like gratitude, like appreciation. So let's noodle with that a little bit and give the audience a few more things that they can talk about and not talk about, to learn and process and have a process in place for themselves.
Sure. So I think the mental toughness is really, you know, the unseen hours of work that you're putting in, any discipline that's unseen. Nobody's watching. Now, what are you doing? What are you doing when no one can see you? You hear that phrase, dance like no one's watching. Well, are you putting the work in like no one's watching, or are you coasting? So I think that's a part of it. And the other part of that is doing the things that you know you should do, don't feel like doing, but doing them anyways. That will take you home. You know what? I'm training for the marathon. I need to run 10 miles tomorrow morning. I had a couple glasses of wine the night before. I don't feel like doing it, but I need to, and I'm going to. And that's how you build your mental toughness, for an example. You know, in sales, I mean, in work, you know, are you prospecting enough hours? You know, if it's 1 hour and it's not getting the job done, then you need to do 2 hours, even though you don't feel like doing it, but it's your highest payoff activity. So it's doing those things that are really difficult to do. It's the hardest thing usually. And I always say, that's the intention and the intensity behind it. So we plateau in a lot of areas. And if we're using, I know, you're into your workouts and your nature and your runs and your trail runs. I think I've heard you mention in the past. And a lot of us that when we set goals, we say, you know, I want to lose X amount of weight. I want to do a certain number of miles. And you do your first 3 weeks or month of a 3 mile walk, hike, run, whatever it is. And you lose all this weight. You lose 10, 15 pounds. And you know what? You plateau. Well, the way, because you're not giving your body anything more to bust through. So what you have to do is pick up that intensity, whether that's now that 3 miles needs to be 4 miles, or now those 3 miles that you did in 45 minutes needs to be done in a half hour. So you pick up that heart rate, you pick up that intensity. And that's, then you rekindle, you reset the bar, the baseline, to break through that plateau. And that's where that can start to help you. But you have to be tough with it. You know, you have to let your, because it's uncomfortable. Okay. If you're comfortable doing those 3 miles, the discomfort is where the magic happens. Yes. That's where you see the results.
And I love that. Thank you so much. Because people say, well, no, it feels wrong. It doesn't feel right. Well, it's not supposed to. You're doing something new. And audience, I want you to hear Bill Murphy, what he's saying, because it's a great metaphor for everything that's happening in your life, business, personal life, your mental, mind, body, spirit, all of that. And I heard you say earlier, Bill, and I wanted to just recap, and I've heard this before, it's like doing the tough stuff first, right? Getting that out of the way. And then you've got the confidence and the oomph to do the less tough stuff. I'm watching my language is what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing that. True though, right?
Yeah. The energy. Totally. It builds energy.
Energy, confidence, momentum, all of that. And I want to talk to you, and I heard this the other day, there's a difference between momentum and inspiration, or inspiring you, or motivation. It was motivation. And I started noodling that, and I want to have that conversation with you on that. It's like the contrast between being inspired, you inspiring yourself to do, to be, right? Versus externally, somebody's motivating. You feel like somebody's got to motivate you to do that. I lean more towards the inspiring, because the motivating, to me, it's kind of sticky. Can we unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, doesn't that go to the purpose and the why a little bit too?
Yep.
You know, it's great to listen to a motivational speaker that gets you fired up, but if you do nothing with what you heard, then it falls on deaf ears, right?
Yep.
So you got to take action. So I just left the conference, you know, last week. And what we do is after we finish, we debrief and we put action steps in place, because for so many years, I used to go to conferences and say, hey, I got all these great ideas, and you throw 100 things out there and nothing gets implemented because there's just, everybody's so overwhelmed. Right. So you just actually have to put the steps in place with some of that motivation you get if you need it. You know, I think everybody's why can change, because if your why now, if you're, you know, I'm 50 years old, and, you know, 30 years ago, my why wasn't my kids. My why right now is my kids.
Yep.
My why back then was probably like, I'm going to show everybody I'm capable of more. And so it's okay to change your why. And actually, you should really look at changing your why and your purpose. and not let that go stale. Because if it goes stale, that's when you stop doing the things because they're not important enough. So the why and the purpose, the motivation and the inspiration. So I'm in a place where, you know, I want to be inspiring for my kids and set that example. Before I would maybe just be motivated by my kids to put, you know, to give them a good living.
Yes. How different is this, the, you know, the contrast between your upbringing and now what you're providing for your children and how you're showing up for your children, right? And I believe that, yeah, huge. Because I knew with me, I'm like, buck's stopping right here. It ain't going any farther, generational or any of that, right? I was going to do it different. Did I do it all perfect? No, there is no perfect. It's just not.
No perfect.
There is no. And raising three girls? No.
Yeah.
Heck no. Sorry, Benny.
Yeah.
But talk to me about that. We've got a couple minutes before we're going to take a commercial break. And I want to talk about that in a manner that just kind of gives these parents and men, women, all the stuff, just kind of the permission to be okay with the past and then looking at the future and really reinventing what that looks like for them and their families.
All right, I'll tie this together for you. Okay. So make peace with your past. And that could be, you have to have self-love and forgiveness, right? Mm. That's a process. And it's a process for men, especially.
Huge, yes.
So that's one part of it. I battled having self-love for myself. So there was a lot of self-esteem issues, and maybe I would just power through everything to get it done. But when I was growing up, my dad said to me one time, and I was probably 12 years old, I used to say, why am I punished all the time? Why am I in trouble all the time? Why do you bring me down all the time? And why don't you really provide us the things? Like, I used to have paper routes to get my own food. I also have paper routes to buy my own clothes. I was like at 10 years old, right? So, but he would still be able to go on luxurious fishing trips and hunting trips and things like that. So it wasn't a matter, we were lower middle class, but it's where your priorities are, right? And if it's not with your kids, I'm not saying I wanted any handouts or needed any handouts, but it's just, it's modeling. And the one thing he said, and I'll never forget where I was and when he said it in the house and in the basement workshop. And he said, why should you have it better than me growing up? And I said to him, and I probably wasn't even 13 years old. I said, you know what? This is the motive. You talk about motivation. This is the motivation for me to provide for my kids. And I will take that with me forever. And so I've never forgotten it. It was such a vivid, painful memory. However, here's the thing. We talk about making peace with your past. There's no ill will. I don't root for karma to bite anybody, because that creates a whole nother set of issues that will get you in trouble. Whatever needs to take care of, being taken care of. As a matter of fact, I send my dad blessings. I told him just a couple of years ago, I said, Dad, you're great. Your tombstone is going to just have your dates of birth, the day you died, and your name. It's not going to say anything else. I said, what about a legacy? And so that's kind of the quest that I'm on, is making sure that I'm impacting enough people, you know, through some of our charitable endeavors and you know, with, you know, I want to model that for my kids, and I want to see them be a part of that stuff.
I love that, Bill. Thank you. And the operative word here, model, be the example, show up. I hear you talk about sending blessings. To me, that language is frequency, and always having a loving, compassionate frequency and energy, regardless. You know, there's harm done. There's harm, things that happen to us in our life, right? And it's how then we internalize or not internalize, react, respond. And it's important to have that contrast and look at that and say, no, don't want that anymore. We're going to move on. But also in that space, getting to a space of emotional intelligence and wisdom and self-confidence and self-love that says, okay, this is what I learned from X, Y, and Z. and holding that essence, not the angst, not the judgment, not the, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. With that, we are going to take a really quick commercial break, and we're going to still be live on YouTube. So if you want to see us and hang out with us on YouTube, we're going to be over there. Just go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM. We will be right back, you guys. Hey there, everyone. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. You also know me as the host and creator of the Gratitude Cafe. Please sign up for the newsletter so we can stay in touch. All you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com, sign up for the newsletter. And I am creating vitality, abundance, and resilience. I want you to win in life and to reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. If that sounds juicy and yummy, come over, let's have a conversation, sign up for the newsletter and or the coaching program and the C2C live online program. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Time is funny. Sometimes it seems fast and other times slow. When it comes to time slots remaining on Alternative Talk 1150, time is running out. In fact, there are just a few primetime slots available. So if you want to host your own radio program, the time to call 425-653-1150 is right now. Nope, no time for excuses. Dial 425-653-1150 to find out how affordable it can be to host a radio show. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Woohoo! Welcome back. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. We are talking to Bill Murphy. We are thriving in the storm. The storm as a metaphor of life, business, personal, all of that juicy stuff, and really getting clear on what that looks like and how that could be showing up in our life and how we are going to evolve and change from that. Hearing Bill's past story and parenting and focus and being that model and being that example for not only his family and his children, but also for other men and women that he speaks and reaches his charities as well. So thank you so much, Bill. During the break, I was just totally went on a rampage and I can't remember what we were talking about. Do you remember? Because I need your help going back.
It's holiday
That's
season.
It. Yeah. Thank you.
And we're around, some of our family that we haven't seen in a little while. And that's probably a reason why.
So how do we, how do we adapt? Adapt and also, and I say adapt, not enable and not allow them to treat you or mistreat you. And like you were talking during the break, Bill, their intention is not to be nasty. At least we would like to believe that. Going back to the past of your past and other situation, we would like to believe that they're going to show up the best that they can. That doesn't always happen at all. Yeah.
So I think it's knowing the roster that you're going to be around, understanding that dynamic, because you may be refereeing, you may not even be the object or the subject of any angst. You may just have to step in and play counselor or mediator and just kind of soften it. And we're just preparing, because we've all had those awkward moments with family and friends, just people that you're not around a lot and things change. Sometimes the spirits are flowing and that also could be a factor.
Well, that can't contribute to any mischief at all.
No. So, I mean, it even goes with, you know, just your regular daily program, right? So it's who are you hanging around with? And what are the conversations you're turning around that are going maybe against you? And again, it may not be ill-intentioned. I'll give you an example. In 2019, I had run the Boston Marathon, and I was preparing, and I wanted to do this, and it was just a crazy thing to train 6 months for an Ironman. And I haven't swam in 30 years, and I hadn't, and I didn't have a bike. And so all these coaches, and they all meant well, but they're like, dude, it's just not enough time. You're going to get hurt. You don't know what you're doing, nutrition, this, that, the other thing. And then, you know, I would talk to my mother almost daily. And my mom, my beautiful mother, would say, Billy, you can't do that. You're going to get hurt. 2.4 mile swim, 112 miles biking, and then you have to do a marathon? No way. Like, so I was like, all right, Ma, I love you. Enough sucking the life out of me.
Totally.
Oh, she hears this. But no, the greatest intentions, and she meant so well. So you gotta be careful of that, because you know it's coming from a place when people doubt you. A lot of times they're just looking out for you trying to stretch yourself.
Or it's the doubt and fear within themselves that they're projecting onto you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, projection. So again, it's coming from a loving place a lot of times, and sometimes it's not.
Right.
When they're just, you know, complaining or doubting or just trying to being jealous. So, you know, that's something you have to watch for. So, you know, prepare for the situations that you're going to be in that you're not normally in with the folks that may bring some chaos, however it plays out. And I think that's really important. And so surrounding yourself with those people, like networking. So in business, we network, right? And I always say, cast the net wide with who you want to talk to. Don't force yourself to go talk to everybody. Talk to the people that align with your values. Mm-hmm. And then you can build some rapport that way. But I see so many people just want a speed date in a networking event and get as many business cards or contacts as they possibly can. And I say, you know what, I'd rather, instead of meeting all 50 people here, I'd rather meet 6 or 7 people that I can collaborate with and be on the same page, and we have the same values and the same goals and visions, and we want to go to the same place. And those are probably the eagles.
Yes, and not expelling the energy where it's just not warranted. Just, you know, you hear everybody like, just, I'm wiped out, I don't have enough energy. Well, where is your energy going? It's going to places that really don't serve you anymore, and getting really clear on right. What that is, what's authentic and genuine and aligned, like you said, for you. I want to go to your book, Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. We're talking to Bill Murphy, 8 Ways to Harden Your Mindset. Did you use that word purposefully, harden your mindset?
Yeah, I did. I know I was listening to, when I was actually training for some of, you know, some ultra endurance sports, right? The marathons and the Ironmans.
Hard.
You put your body through some really physical pain, but you're stretching yourself. Yes. So you have to. And Dave Goggins used this word, and I kind of changed it, but he said callous your mind. I love that. But so we went hard. I went hardened. Because I always said you got to be a little harder towards what you're trying to do, and a few things I call it preparing, well stretching your stress muscle, and scheduling pain.
And I'll give you your stress muscle and scheduling your pain.
Your scheduled pain is usually your workouts, but if you're coasting, then it's not scheduled pain.
Gotcha.
So we talked about this earlier, right?
Yeah.
So now you want to stretch, stress, make it harder, because the reward is how you feel afterwards. It's not during. A little bit of that pain is going to take you through the day. And so when we coast, and when I started swimming, I thought just by swimming the X number of miles or laps that I needed to do for my scheduled regimen would be enough. And I realized that when I started reading some books on swims and Ironman training, they call that junk miles. And so this is how I equate that. You're just swimming. You're not really getting any better other than you're just doing the laps, but you're not getting your cardio up. You're not preparing for the elements of the water. You're not preparing for anything. So I equate that in life when we just coast through the day, we're in junk mile mode, right? So my coach, when he told me to just stop doing laps and we not need to start doing drills, he took a band, a bungee band, and he tied my feet to the diving board in the pool, and he had me swim 10 sets of 1 minute with a 10-second rest. And the anxiety and the angst and your heart rate and everything is just, you think you're gonna swim, you think you're gonna die, you think you're, so that's where the stress muscle comes in. You're building it up. And I hated it and I dreaded it. And I was so anxious every time he made me do it. He's like, bring the bungees, bring the bands. I'm like, oh man, can we kind of coast today? But I was like, no, you hold me accountable. So when I started swimming, it was an ocean current that was whipping against us. And a lot of people were, this was in Florida, in Panama City, a lot of people didn't finish because I don't know if they were used to that swim in the current. I felt like all those bungee swims got me through. Now, if I was just coasting and junk miling my swim, I probably wouldn't have finished either and been overwhelmed and overtaken. But I was used to the stress and strain.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I talk about scheduling your pain and building that stress muscle up.
I love that. And again, going back to the top of the hour when we're talking about putting and having a process in place before shiitake hits the fan, right? And that is to callous the mindset, harden the mind or have a process. It's, yeah, I don't want to live in junk mode.
No.
I don't want anybody to live in junk mode. That's why I do this. And that's why I show up and bring people like yourself in here. Let's talk about, we didn't really cover the 8 ways to harden your mindset. We just, covered the definition. Do you want to talk about the 8 ways or identifying and breaking your negative patterns? Because those habituations. And I think for me, what I teach is first and foremost, you have to have the awareness. You have to have the awareness that you even are habituating, that you have the bad habits. And then, you know, leaning into those and saying, all right, forgive myself for that, and then changing them. So I don't know where you want to take
that. Yeah, so we kind of covered a lot of, you know, a lot of that, the principles of hardening your mind is scheduling the hard things, doing the hard things, and it's going to be it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's going to build, you're going to get high off dopamine and endorphins, and it's going to be your natural high that will take you through the day, so that you're kind of building up your fortress for anything that life throws at you all day long. I mean, it really does help you. It does help you coast.
So I use that for my yayas, all three of my girls. I'm like, get outside and go run your yayas out, and then we'll have a conversation. And I'm like, Sue, you need to go run your yayas off.
I love it. I love it. Just with identifying patterns, like, where are you stuck? Why are you stuck? I mean, so many of us are stuck right now. I mean, after COVID, mental health is a real deal, right? So many of us are stuck with self-doubt, unworthiness, we don't feel good enough. You know, I think self-doubt is, you know, the devil sitting on your shoulder, whispering in your ear that you're not good enough, you're wasting your time, you're not capable of doing anything. Who are you trying to fool? And then we give in to that evil inner voice and we quit.
Right.
So you're gonna,
that's because that we think that's our norm. We know that, right? And going back to what you were just saying, it's going to feel different. You want it to feel different. You want it to.
So if you're struggling with doubt and fear, this is where the accountability piece comes in, and hanging out with the people that will build you up is, I say, declare what your vision is, declare what your goals are. Ask those people not to let you off the hook with whatever you want to do. And I know you're a coach, Sue, and I so believe in coaching. especially with good coaches. You know, I talked about it earlier. Like, my coach put me through a really tough workout that I was.
Thank you for that. I saw that.
that I was hating him for in a loving way, but I knew I needed it. I said, "Don't ever let me coast. Don't ever let me do the junk mile thing. I don't ever want to work out like that unless you absolutely say I need it. But yeah. Don't let me coast in anything." So if you ask your coach, if you ask your accountability to be tougher on you because you need it, you don't want it, but because you need it, and say, hold me accountable for this physical plan that I have. Hold me accountable for this business plan that I have. Hold me accountable for this relationship boundary plan I have. Like, hold me accountable and help me get through some of these tough times, or don't let me off the hook. And I don't want anyone to mistake coaching with therapy either, because I think a lot of coaches, so be very careful on who you hire for coaches. I think a lot of coaches play the therapy card unnecessarily, and that can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So be very, very careful.
With that, Bill, I would like to add too, sure, within sure. that container, if you do lose your shiitake, you have a container with this individual, whoever's educating, coaching, mentoring you, that you feel safe in that container, that you can speak your authentic fears and not be ridiculed or judged or saying it's something wrong. I think the safe container in that, for me, coming from trauma, safety, hands down, emotional safety. So I can have that freedom to speak out my fears and not be judged, or speak out the doubts and all of that, to not be self-ridiculed or judged. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I got into sales 25 years ago, I was into counseling psych. I got my master's. I counseled juvenile delinquents that were locked up. And the reason that I did that, because I really want to understand what was going on with me and what was going on with my dad and his mindset and all these defense mechanisms and the environment. So I want to understand this. I love the psychology. I wanted to understand that. But now with my sales career, in addition to you, I've been a business and life coaching for 5 or 6 years now. And I take all my counseling skills into coaching, knowing that I'm not a therapist anymore.
Right.
But I can. The first thing I'll ever say to one of my coaching clients is, I don't really care about your numbers right now. I care about how you're doing. Like, how are you doing? Oh man, the real estate market's crazy. The rate environment's nuts. I can't get any clients. We're going into the slow holiday season. I'm feeling down and out. We can't talk numbers when they're down and out. We need to build that back up and then put a plan in place to get them to get their mind right. And so that's kind of the approach. But I've had coaches over the years be like, hey, I don't really care how you're feeling. I don't care what's going on. I just want to know your numbers, and we just need to work on your numbers, and everything's going to be a spreadsheet every single week, and I'm going to yell at you. But it happens, right? So
right.
you got to interview if you're going to go down this path. Like, if they call you, Sue, you know, I think your future clients are going to interview you too if they're doing it right.
Oh no, that's a mandatory thing. Absolutely. It's always, and if there are educators and mentorships all over the place, and if I'm not the right fit, we're going to find you one. It's the focus of transformation. I'm not taking any of that personally.
Right.
No.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's good that you do that too. You let them interview you. No hard feelings, right?
Oh gosh, no. Heavens no. Yeah. I've got a whole toolbox or a Rolodex of people I can say, hey, well, try so-and-so. Absolutely. I totally believe in that. I believe in the win-win-win conscious mentality and collaboration, that conscious collaboration. Breaking negative patterns. I know we talked about this at the top of the hour, and I think this is important going into the holidays and relating and relations and recognizing not only triggers within yourself, but also standing in that awareness of when, you know, uncle or aunt or grandma or grandpa may be, you know, rubbing the cheek a little wrong, yeah, or whatever that is for you, right? How can we help self, how can we give the audience and me a process? What can we, what goodies and juicy stuff can we talk about and educate?
Well, if it's family and friends, I mean, redirection's good, or remove yourself, I would say.
Time out.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like finding the people that you really connect with and just spending less time. And if it's going sour, you know, confronting it lovingly, and being as positive as you can with the redirection. That's how I'd handle that. But
with
a lot
the
of
redirection, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the negative patterns are just because of bad habits. And, you know, like if you are in holiday mode and you are allowing yourself to binge eat, binge watch, binge whatever, you know, be very, very, very careful. Like, don't stock up your pantry with all kinds of junk, you know. So the elimination process should not the oversupply, right, of goodies. And, you know, if you're gonna, you know, I think things in moderation are fine, but be very careful on what you're allowing yourself to put in your body, allowing yourself, like, even, you know, I'll give you an example, I think, of a habit and a pattern. We just had the midterm elections, and I knew so many people that were talking about the midterm elections, and they're glued to the CNBC, and they're glued to the Bloomberg, and they're glued to the TV, and they're glued to this, and they're picking up hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of content that they're feeding themselves with. And I could have a conversation without ever turning on the TV once by Googling the midterm elections for probably maybe 15 minutes, and the 40 hours that they just spent last week on that, and have an intelligent conversation with that. So now those 40 hours that you wasted in a week, putting yourself
and the energy and the mindset. Oh, oh God, it's
right. Thank you. but think about, now let's go productive.
Like, yes.
How much, what could you, if you knew you had 40 hours that you use watching the midterm elections, and we just use it as an example, because we're all guilty of something that we get glued to, right? And you say, I got 40 hours of free time and I want to be productive with that. You could come up with a list of just great things you could do. Date your kids, date your loved ones, take up a hobby, put in more workouts. I mean, whatever, work on your career. Work on bettering yourself, and you know, whatever it is, you can take that, do research on something you're really interested in. I mean, to be an expert in anything, like Malcolm Gladwell says, takes 10,000 hours. So go practice something. Put in 40 of those hours now.
Right. Yes. Mind, body, spirit, baby.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
So elimination.
Not being in junk mode. I love that.
Eliminate the bad habits, add the good habits, and we'll help you break some of those patterns. And things that we try to get through with patterns can be work-wise. And if you see yourself getting stuck, a coach can help you identify that. Your peers can help you identify that. Positive people can help you identify that if you can't figure that out. So I would make sure that's incorporated into your process with where you want to have breakthroughs.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, and I was talking to a few people about this, and going into that rabbit hole, that self-isolation. And I say this to the audience and to you too, Bill, there's a few things here that I'm talking about. If you can go into a self-rehab or a self-isolation and it's for the positive, you're doing your research, you're keeping your mind and your body and all that healthy, that's fine. If you go into that self-isolation, you go down that rabbit hole of despair. That is what we're talking about. That's not okay. And no, not okay. So that's when you really need to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm going down that rabbit hole. Can you give me 10, you know, something, or an hour or five, whatever that is, just to completely do something. And this is something that I do too. I'm breaking them now, but going down that rabbit hole, I literally do something so foreign to me that it changes the energy, the frequency, the neural pathways, the mindset, everything. And I bounce back just like that. Right.
I love that. Be open-minded on all subjects. So like, you're not saying no to something that you would otherwise say no to. You're saying, you know what, this could be a good change. And that change could break, you know, raise your energy to another
hands
level.
Down. Yeah. And I've gotten to, my habituation is I'm a yes until I'm a no, or maybe later.
Okay.
And that's across the board for everything, because I want to have those experiences. And, you know, if that experience is not something I'm going to do again, that's fine. But I learned that. I learned in that contrast. I'm not going to beat myself up left or right. You know, it's just a contrast. I want to remind everybody what we're talking about. Your other baby, a Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. We are talking to Bill Murphy. How do they get a hold of you? And I know, do you want to talk about, and we had talked about focusing on transformation, but you also do a lot with nonprofits and modeling and being of service in that capacity. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. Okay. Yeah, so they can get a hold of me at thrivinginthestorm.com, and they could reach me that way. Make-A-Wish was really how I got involved, and that stemmed from, you know, I tried to find silver linings in my past, and remember what was said to me earlier is I don't want it for you to have it better than me. So that included giving back. I needed to give back. Once I started feeling a little bit of success, I started giving back in 2006 to Make-A-Wish. Part of been in the mortgage business for 25 years now, but in 2006, having really nice success, and I was like, you know what? I need to make a difference. I need to be impactful, and I wanna just start this legacy build, you know, to show my kids this is what it's about. So started giving to Make-A-Wish back then, and been doing it. We give a portion of proceeds of all our loans for every single client we close to Make-A-Wish. We've been doing it. We've raised over $500,000 since 2006 just for Make-A-Wish. We've also created the Thrive Foundation, but that's just rolling out now. That's my own nonprofit. But so one of the things that happened was, so I've done some marathons for Make-A-Wish. I've done some fundraisers for Make-A-Wish. We've done that. But my goal was to just help as many of these kids as we can. So I was trained. I've run the Boston Marathon for Make-A-Wish a few times. And last year I was running, and it was because of COVID. It was in October. That's normally in April, on Patriots Day in Massachusetts. And I was on my way to a run, walking down my stairs from my second floor. And I remember it was like 5 a.m. I was texting my daughter. She's getting some teeth work done. And I was texting her, and I missed the 2 bottom stairs. And when I landed, I blew my quad out. I like tore it right off. I tore it right off. And it was the most pain I ever had. And so that wasn't scheduled pain, by the way. And so when I hit, I actually thought the bone was popping through, but it was actually the ligament at the top. So anyways, I had surgery the next day. And so now all these people hear about it. Make-A-Wish says, so sorry, you can't do the Boston Marathon. So, and I was like, wait a second, why can't we do it on crutches? Why can't we do a wheelchair, whatever? Why can't we figure this out? And I was probably still on some pretty good meds at that time. But the next day I was like, I'm going around my pool in crutches, and my dog was my run partner. So she's excited to go around the pool, and I have this big brace on, I have all this stuff, and I'm bleeding under the arms from all this stuff. And everybody said no. And I said, I'm not saying no because I committed to raise money for these kids that don't have a choice with their critical illness. And so that was we talk about motivation, inspiration, like that was my driving force. And then, you know, my family, my friends, they got behind me. And in my book, I talk a lot about silver linings. And when you make peace with your past, there's a lot of silver linings and lessons you can take. So what ended up happening is we get my former college involved, because we do a scholarship. We get back with a scholarship there. And so they wanted to help us. They gave us the football field because they didn't have a football game on the marathon day. Boston said no. It's a liability. You're not doing the crutches during the race. So Boston course. Said no. BAA says no. So we end up doing the marathon on crutches at Worcester State College. And I raised quadruple the amount of money, and it got all kinds of coverage. And not only that, but the money that Make-A-Wish got from the news coverage of the event of the crutch marathon was the beauty in that. And that was the silver lining. And, you know, I wouldn't change that torn quad for what I was able to raise in awareness. But the best thing about this, and I know we're wrapping up, the best thing about this is we had some Make-A-Wish kids there, and I did 26 miles on crutches around the track. The last 3 miles, my time bumped up. I improved my time. I had a girl from Make-A-Wish who was recovered. She had pancreatitis there. And she was my motivation, my inspiration. I'm so thankful for you. I can't believe you're doing this. This is great. You're on crutches. And she just took me for the last 3 miles. Those last 3 miles of that marathon were my fastest on crutches because that girl lifted me up.
I love that. Look at that metaphor for life, audience. Look at that. Take that example, take that model, take all of that into your life and really stand in the rink of your life and be intentional, be purposeful, make those choices for yourself, authentic and genuine for yourself, not based on past. And do look for the silver linings and be eternally grateful and appreciate the lessons that you have learned. Stay out of junk mode, my loves. Excuse me. And Bill, this has been an absolute treat. I wish you, your family, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, all of your charities, all the best going into the years to come. Please let me know how I can keep supporting you. And for those of you wanting to get a hold of his book, Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity, you can do that. I will have all the links on social media and on the website. So if you're driving, please just go to Clarity with Sue. With that, Bill, thank you so much. So thankful for you and to all of you listening. We'll see you next week. And until then, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world. It's our day.